boom, 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 boom. And now
Miles
it's working.
Really said, I don't want nothing to do with y'all.
Where did Miles go?
She just left. She left the room.
Oh.
That's how you know she's getting grown.
Yeah.
She's like, no, I'm good. I don't need to be near you anymore.
I'm going
to
go here and play with my other toy.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be back. She's going to go get.
She will. She'll get in her little hammock bowl thing.
Okay, folks, we got donuts from Holy Donuts.
Holy Grail Donuts.
See, I still can't get the name right. I still can't get the name right.
But the point is that they're here. They made it.
I'm so
And they're
annoyed.
Delicious.
I like consciously was like saying right. Nope. That turmeric donut was really good.
Shockingly.
Yeah, the sesame. Was it sesame? What? Salt?
Sesame something.
Sesame black salt. That was good. Yo, if y'all like donuts or just sweet things. Donuts are baked goods, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I don't be knowing stuff. Go to Holy Donuts in Santa Monica. They ain't even paying for this, but they've won.
We're shouting them out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Really delicious donuts.
I'm pulling up the menu just so we can be really clear.
They have some good stuff.
How did I find that earlier? I don't know. Maybe we'll come back to that. Cause...
Possibly. But today, kids, in today's class... We're going to talk about patriarchy again.
Patriarchy returns.
More about patriarchy.
More about it. And it's because we got a lot of feedback and I've re-entered the dating world. So
re-entered the dating world.
Yeah, I'm on Hinge. I think that's an important step in this whole healing thing, especially if we're talking specifically healing from breakups.
Hinge. The
Just
name.
To like put yourself out there again.
The name. Shout out to you, girl. You do it.
Well, one of my prompts on my profile is I'll tell my friends about you if you can explain to me how patriarchy is a pyramid scheme.
Ooh.
And, you know, I think half the men who like that comment are just blindly liking it. I think men just tend to like.
How does Hinge work? Because I don't know how the dating thing is. Do you still swipe?
No, it's less of a swipe and more of a you can go through someone's profile and like either a specific picture or a specific prompt response.
Oh, so it still gamifies it.
It still gamifies it. And I think that men will generally just like the top picture on my profile. Mm-hmm. And that says to me that I'm not sure you actually looked at the entire profile. I think you just...
Muscle.
You're just, yeah, quick response, rapid response,
give
heart,
my dopamine hit.
Hearting. Yeah, everything. Whereas I think women go through and try and pick apart everything that a man says on his profile. And so I get into some interesting conversations now that I've decided to just own that, like, this is who I am, both in real life and on these apps around the idea that patriarchy is a pyramid scheme. And so between the IRL feedback and the in real life.
I knew it.
Yeah. And the online feedback, there's a few things we could talk about. But, I was sort of like, should we talk about the origins of patriarchy and just share kind of what I've learned is one theory on it? I work for a gender equality center now. And one of the very intelligent people who works there, when I retold this origin story that I had found for us to share on the podcast, she was like, well, that's one version. I was like,
we got options.
Okay. Well, we're going to share this one version because it was honestly the easiest to explain.
I'll link it on the show notes. It's a Medium article.
Yeah, it's super clear. The rest of them felt like really complex and just not maybe for now. I'm sure if anyone's interested, y'all can Google the various versions of feminist theory and patriarchy and da da da.
As much as I would like to go into it, I like the conversation around how it shows up in marginalized communities or.
Yes.
That to me, well, one, because both of our backgrounds are ethnicities.
Yes.
There's that. And to me, it's also a thing that shows how, like, no one benefits from it.
Yes. I agree. And that's the kind of marginalized community thing is the one that I've gotten feedback from through, honestly, the dating apps where men have been like, yeah, but it's different when you're from different cultures.
Yeah.
And there's intersectional lenses and da da da. And I'm sort of like, ooh, this is not a conversation for the Hinge.
We can't do this
on
Hinge.
Here. Yeah. Like, would you like to buy me a drink, sir?
Yeah, like, We got another way to talk about this. Shit, you should. For like, record, I don't give me a drink and we can holler like about this. Let's see what your views are.
Yes.
I think this is how we go really figure out if you're with it.
Fantastic litmus test, yeah.
Are you with the shits or not?
I agree. I think it's connected. So I'm just going to do this real quick.
Real quick.
We were hunter-gatherers as a civilization. Farming became a thing, which meant we didn't have to move around to find our food and sustenance. People realized that the more land you had to farm your food, you would need to protect it because it was now in danger of being stolen or whatever by other people. Men, being more physically powerful, had the job of protecting that land, and women became, for lack of a better term, domesticated. We were meant to stay indoors, take care of the children. And yeah, that was kind of, I think, the like very brief story of patriarchal culture and men sort of being the protectors, the providers, which I think then bleeds into the marginalized communities.
Yeah. I think 1,000,000,000%. Because I immediately think of that version or option, I think of all the men in my life, especially growing up, and how taking care of, protection was the number one priority, like in the way it would be brought up. Like, oh, you gotta protect your sister. Even if, I don't know, Big Daddy, my grandpa, if he left the house, you the man of the house right now. I'm like, man, I'm a baby. Like, it's older women here. What do you mean I'm the man of the house now?
What am I supposed to do if someone breaks in?
Yeah, like, what? Ooh, I'm looking at them.
It's a lot of pressure.
So thinking of that, and I think of, I have sisters, and how, I think it was last year, my sisters came and we were like hanging out. My partner at the time, it was her birthday, and we were all together, and I knew my sisters had a couple drinks. And I think it was like exactly a couple, as in two. Mm. And at some point, I remember looking at my sisters and I remember something just took over me. And I just like went up to all of them like, no more drinks.
Oh, wow.
Like this protective thing took over.
And these are the women in your family?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So I know enough about them to then say, well, how did they react to that?
I was definitely like, what? And the arguments ensued.
Right, right.
And it was still just this thing to where, shout out to all my sisters. I love y'all. I replay that in my mind a bit, especially thinking about this, to where I remember afterwards, I was like, yo, why'd you do that? And I realized, because I remember saying, like, yo, if something happens to any one of you after you're leaving, I know who mom and dad coming to. I know the conversation that's going to pop up as to, wait, your sisters were with you and then something happened to them? It's like, well, you might as well go jump off the cliff.
Because it is all your fault and your responsibility.
Yeah, you are responsible for making sure that they're fine and they're okay. And I didn't realize how much that plays in probably every relationship I have.
Yeah.
Like, I look at when I would be out to dinner with folks and stuff. It's like, oh, no, I got it. I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, you ain't got to be paying for everybody dinner and shit. Like,
amen.
Like, this is a lot, homie.
Amen.
But it just always would be a thing to where that was the stuff that was modeled for me. That was what I saw. Like, you take care of your people.
Yeah.
And I've been working really hard to find that, I don't even know if it's balance, like that alignment with just life in general.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, you're that protector, you're that provider, you do everything for the person. My previous partner, I'm just thinking about like how that would show up and how she's an independent person.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, oh, if I hear like, oh, I need to take care of these things, I'm gonna go do it. Like, oh, okay, I'll go do it. And then I'm like, my to-do list is now 60 things long and I can't do all those things.
Mm.
So then now I'm letting her down.
Right.
Because I've like overextended myself and it's like, oh shit.
Fascinating. I mean, you just tapped into like a few interesting things. I mean, I'll start with the idea of just like you being a young boy, let's just call it what it is, and being told that you were now the man of the house. So you didn't even have space to experience boyhood, which is, I think, where we learn to cultivate joy and curiosity. And I think like feeling our feelings. I saw a meme or something the other day that said something about how kids who react in big ways emotionally, we always sort of say, oh, they're too much, or mm-hmm. she's so sassy, or he's so that. But it's actually the most natural response in situations yeah, yeah. that at some point we're taught to temper.
Yep.
And yes, obviously, like, managing our emotions and how we express them is very important.
We've got to be able to do
but
that.
But I think young boys don't get the chance to work through those the way yes. that I think young girls do. You're then constantly stifled emotionally.
Yep.
And I'll say this as a woman, I love and welcome the feeling of being protected, because I've so often been in situations where I feel unprotected.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't ever want that to be something that a man feels like he has to do. If a man wants to show up and be a provider because he enjoys
yeah.
being that, if he wants to be a protector because he enjoys it, if it's not at the expense of his own physical or mental health,
yeah,
hell yeah, do that, be that for me, or for yourself more so, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the marginalized communities, that's the part where I struggle, is that I've seen the men in my family force themselves to have to be that tough protector, provider, at the expense of their own emotional health.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, when you're protecting your farmlands or you're protecting your family, God forbid you show vulnerability. God forbid you show fear. Mm-hmm. God forbid you show anything that might be considered
weak.
Weak.
And it's always the physical nature of these yeah. things. That's the thing that took me a while to really wrap my mind around, is that my physical pain tolerance is because how I was told not to show these signs of weakness. If you hurt, don't cry.
Oh, fascinating.
You mess up your ankle, don't limp.
Right. Like, you can't show, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Like, you're showing that you're weak now. Like, this other man can now
attack.
Yeah, they can dominate you. It's yeah, like, it's
take
that.
Advantage. Yeah.
And then I realized how that it seeped into all the other parts of my well-being.
Yeah.
Because then it became like, oh, resilience to me, example I can use, I think a lot of men would probably be able to understand, is like Kobe Bryant's Mamba mentality.
Right.
It's probably like one of the most unhealthy things. And like, I love that man dearly with all his flaws and everything.
Yeah.
But it's like a thing to where I can think of so many times where I've been in like really unhealthy positions and spots and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck that Mamba mentality.
Yeah.
And I just dig deep into myself and just keep pushing through this thing.
Ooh.
When I'm like, maybe I should have took a break.
Right,
like,
right.
Like, my body is reacting this way because it's letting me know, like, we're not good.
Yeah.
We're not good. But it's a thing to where now I've been able to put it in perspective to be like, okay, Mamba mentality, like, for this thing.
Yes.
At this point, this is going to drive me now.
Yes.
Before, it never was that. It was just
the,
like,
nuance wasn't there.
Literally, I can think of so many things that I would do while I was injured. Where I like genuinely was hurt.
To just push through.
Yeah, just push through it. And I remember high school, I like dislocated my shoulder. And I remember like the trainer or EMT, whomever it was. They're like, dude, you're not like crying. You're not making any sound. Like, what's up? I'm like, just pop it back.
Damn.
Internally, oh my God, I wanted to die. Like, you could just take me now. Like, here
Damn.
You go. But it was just
you
this thing where
it,
I'm
though.
Like, I will not let anyone here think
Whew.
That, like, this is hurting me.
That hurts me. Like, that hurts me for you.
Yeah, I'm like, you, like, I know they know this hurt, but I'm like, you not go see it. You will not see it. Like,
yeah.
I will not show you that. And then now I'm like, oh no, you go see this hurt.
Yes. like, good.
This is helping my body get these things out.
And releasing
it's like
it.
How I will jokingly be like, it's so hard for me to cry.
Yes.
I'm like, I know where it comes from.
Yeah.
I know where it comes from now, and understanding that, like, oh, I've put it so deep into my consciousness or subconsciousness that this is weakness and that you shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
That, and like, yeah. I'm so glad to where I think the person I was with, how when I cried in front of her a yeah. few times, that was a thing assigned to me. It was like, oh, you really love this person.
Mm.
Like, you
really. Because you felt safe enough.
Yeah, it's like you're letting someone see a part of you that, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know when it would happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you didn't run from that. Cause I know normally I'm like, I'm about to go hide. I'm about to go do something to right. not let this happen.
Right.
And I think that's that like patriarchal learned behavior, especially in our cultures. And I think as an African American or Black man, the imagery that I would see so much, it took such a long time to learn different ways.
Yeah. I love that you brought up Kobe, because I always say that for as amazing as his legacy was on the court, I think that we as a society have actually done him a disservice by not recognizing that the legacy of his life lived off the court is just as, if not more powerful, because of the way he came back
yep.
from a very unfortunate circumstance with a young woman around sexual violence and became actually this like representation of a man who repaired his marriage.
Yeah.
And sure, I think at the beginning, everyone was sort of like, of course she's going to stay with him. It's Kobe. She wants that check. But like, you can see that over the years, there was actual love still there. And yeah. I can only imagine it's because of the way he chose to show up and try his best to repair whatever harm he had done.
Yeah.
And then he showed up for his daughters. He showed up for the young women he coached.
Yeah, like other women. And to me, that's why he's one of the few people that I am okay being like, nah, dude was my hero.
Yeah.
I learned. Like, yeah. I genuinely learned. I think seeing and being as a, I don't know, caring and like appreciative of him as I am, I do credit like watching his life and journey to helping me like think a lot of some of these things.
Fascinating.
Because he might not have said a lot of these things out externally.
Yeah.
I think about my love of reading. I always loved reading. Mm-hmm. Like I just, that was just me. But when I learned that Kobe read books, I was like, shit, I gotta read more. like, oh wait, hold on. Like, what do you mean? Like,
yeah.
He's like reading books about like other stories and stuff. And like hearing Kobe talk about Harry Potter, I was like, oh my God.
That's
he like
amazing.
Harry Potter too? Like
right.
we on the same thing. But it exposed, I think, a lot of us, especially young Black men, to concepts and ideas that most people just like, oh, the nerds do that. But I'm like, if you look at Kobe, this dude's probably like objectively a nerd.
Yeah.
Like this is the dude that like, it's like historically known, like didn't really have friends. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a loner. It wasn't until like way later in his career, he started to like connect with more players and people like that. Mm. Was like obsessive with the stuff that he wanted to do. And then you see how like after his career, he was doing an Oscar.
Yeah.
Like it's like these things, but it was to me to see how I hated like the reductive nature in people saying like, oh, it's the money. It's because he bought an $8 million ring or something. I'm like, you know what? I know women who have been cheated on and who have had shitty relationships with men, and their trust in men, rightfully so, is extremely low.
Yeah.
And as a man that's always, and I will jokingly say, like convalescing from toxic masculinity, I now figure and go like, oh no, I was like dealing with unhealthy masculinity.
Because
I think toxic and toxicity is stuff that like you can't really come back. Like nuclear waste is toxic. We ain't got nowhere to put it most of the time. So
right.
I go like, no, it makes folks, was it irredeemable?
Yeah.
Like, no.
You can come back from these things. Yeah.
I don't think that there's anything a person could do that they can't come back from.
Right.
I think it's just the folks that need to forgive them or let them come back. They just may or may not have the capacity.
Right. Well, and it's how you come back, right?
Yeah.
You could speak on Kobe for much longer than I could, but I'd like to think that his Mamba mentality applied to his comeback in his personal life as
well. I completely agree.
But what's glorified is his athletic Mamba mentality. And that's what I think is really unfortunate. But I also understand that as a Black man, I don't think our society also gives much grace.
Oh, not at all.
To men of color. Yeah, for mistakes. And so I don't blame Kobe for this. I blame us.
As a
society.
It's a society. It is an all or nothing
Kobe
thing.
Kobe killed it. He did an amazing job in life.
Yeah, it's this thing where like,
oh, I was distraught, that whole case and everything. I'm just like, oh my God, no, like this can't be. But even seeing him like teary-eyed or cry during the press conference, and then this dude goes to court and then comes back, like flies back and hits a game winner. I was telling someone, like, if Kobe doesn't hit that jumper, y'all not looking at him the same. Like the greatness on the court, he knew, if I gotta do this because that's gonna help here. But I think those things, and looking at that and having that same idea of, I remember seeing a video of him and Gigi playing basketball in the house, and she like does this move and he's kind of like, whoa. And I think he sees himself in her. Also, it was just so lovely to see this dad and his daughter. And that was a thing to where I used to always be like, oh, I don't want to have a daughter. Like if I have a kid, like, oh God, please don't give me a daughter.
Why?
Because I always knew what men were like.
I've heard that from men before, and it hurts my heart.
And then hearing that, and when I realized that was my reason for being afraid to have a daughter, I'm like, oh, that's a fucking problem. Like, then you need to do everything in your power for you to be better. And then to make any other man around you like go more, because if you have a daughter, you want to make the environment that she comes up in as positive and healthy as it could be.
Yeah, I mean, we hear that a lot, where men don't start to think about a lot of these things until they have daughters, which is problematic, because it's like, well, how are you treating the women around you up until the point that you have a daughter? It's so wild. I know so many men who are like that. And quite frankly, I know men who have daughters and still haven't changed. I think it complicates things, at, just to go back to the marginalized communities thing, or the basically non-white communities, where we're held to expectations in the mass society, right? And often within our own communities, Indian community certainly has those pressures and expectations of men. And so what does that mean? What does like this pyramid scheme of patriarchy mean for us?
It's like another form of pain. I think about how, I think my like last partner, like may have been like the first time like actually like hung out. I feel like I was like very explicit, like I'm trying to be a stay-at-home dad.
Like, you did here. Say that very clearly to me.
Like, look, it, I got the plan. And even hearing that, it's a thing to where I know a few people, men that like I would hang out with, and we would talk about like goals and stuff like that. And I would be like, look, it, the moment I'm able to do that, like it's a wrap. Like, and I also think I would have to explain to people like that doesn't mean I still can't like quote unquote provide.
Right.
And then it still indexes on the monetary thing. Like that's the thing that makes it so frustrating to me. Like so many things, the undercurrent and the root is still money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, the internet is out here. I can start a newsletter with man, like, yo, daddy newsletter. Like daddy we out newsletter. Here. Like, daddy V, just let me tell y'all dads how to do this. Like I'm going to every PTA joint. Like we, me and the uncles, we pulling up to every game. Like trust me, my kids, they will be the kids that everyone wants to come over to their house. Like, yo, we're going to the, like, their dad is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, he got a game room. He got a, look it up. But even that, like that, talking to other men, like to see it in their mind, kind of like look at me like, is he joking? I'm like, oh no, I'm serious. Like, this is the move, homie. Like,
wow.
I love writing. I can still write, be a stay at home dad. If anything, my kids are going to help me with my stories.
Yeah.
Because they have amazing. They're
the source code of the stories. Like,
so, like, that was another way to, I see how it affects our communities, to where you're like, wait, what? Like, what's the issue?
Right. If you're like, y'all are missing out on some real options here.
Like, bruh, especially if like my partner, if want to be wife, whatever agreement we come to, like she working in whatever capacity, like girl, what's the work event?
Yeah.
Who you need me to smooze with?
That's hilarious.
Like,
and so what you think, just because I want to be super explicit, the pain part is in, you feel like maybe we're, the pressure forces men to be something that maybe they don't want to be deep down. Like they don't know that they have other options.
Yeah. Cause I also think that I'm 35 now. It's probably been the last like 5 years of my life that I've ever been able to think like this. And realizing the massively painful things that happened that activated my brain and start going like, whoa, you gotta figure out some other stuff.
Yeah.
Cause what you've been prescribed
and
what you've bought into, this ain't it.
Right.
And I think we all, in some way, there's something in our brain saying this ain't it.
Yeah. Well, it's like you have to be able to really kind of start excavating internally to find the real you under all the like training that mm-hmm. we've gotten from culture. Like as I write this book about my life, it's been fascinating the level of digging that I've had to do to understand all these moments in my life. And it's funny, sometimes I'm like, is that really why? Is that one thing really why I started to believe this other thing? Yeah. And it's not necessarily that it was one thing, but it's one idea reinforced mm-hmm. in 100 different ways
yeah.
throughout culture and yep. throughout stories and throughout religion and throughout all these things. And I speak, you know, about my religion specifically, but, you know, I imagine that others maybe have similar.
It's a thing. It's just programming. I think about when, I guess, like radio in the car and stuff like that was really prevalent.
Yeah.
Not as much in like the world of like streaming and apps.
Satellite
and stuff.
Radio.
Yeah. It's a thing to where like songs broke because every station was playing it.
Yeah.
Like it popped off because you heard it 14 times Ooh. A day.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, at some point our brains break down. Like, all right, look, it slaps. Like,
you said something interesting about habits the other day where you told me an interesting anecdote. Yeah.
I got to remember where I found it, but I know it was a research article from some neuroscientists. And like, especially since learning that I'm autistic, I've been trying to read everything I can to like understand the mind more, yeah. especially like how my mind can operate. And one part was explaining that it is extremely challenging to help people realize that like they don't have as much choice as they believe they do. Like they're not making the conscious choices that they think they are
right.
because our minds operate so much off habit. And one of the really good examples was when you like drive home from work or you drive somewhere that you're familiar with.
Yeah.
You will like get to the parking lot or the garage or the driveway and be like, damn, I'm here.
Right. Yes.
And
yes.
You're like, whoa. And
how did I get here?
Yeah. Like your brain handled all the functions. It's that subconscious brain. Like it's a habit now.
Yeah.
So understanding that so much of what we do is not us like thinking this thing. It's like, oh, no, you've done it. And your brain has created this program running in the background that now will autopilot these things.
Yeah.
It's a thing to where when we have these routines, we do them like this morning. I got up, Buddy was doing something. He was in a mood this morning, had a bunch of energy. And I realized that like I had started walking to the cafe that we go to.
Yeah.
But, like that was not my plan at all.
Mm.
It was like I've done it enough times to where like that routine, that habit is there. Like the autopilot kicked in. And then he looked at me like, what are you doing? And I was like, Oh, my bad. We're walking to the beach. Like, that's what I thought we were doing.
Oh, hilarious.
And it was just that. And so I think it's that. It's like so much of what we're doing, it's been so reinforced through movies, through television, through books, through music, through our day-to-day interactions with folks in our communities and in our cultures that you just do that behavior.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it is I understand why these things can happen because people just... they're not consciously like figuring out the trigger
yeah.
that makes it go down.
Right. We're not asking like, why do we do it this way?
Yeah.
And is this the best way?
Or even trying to pay attention to it.
Right. Right. Just a pause and even like, yeah, focus on it. That's a lot of what I've learned is we're just in autopilot. And I often wonder, I am perhaps too reflective and too questioning of these things.
I don't understand this.
Probably because from a young age, I realized I was like, none of this shit makes sense to me. Like, because it was just too painful.
It's just random.
And I always wonder, and I'm sort of jealous sometimes of people. I'm like, what are they thinking about? What are they spending their time thinking about? Mm-hmm. Because all I can see is everything we talk about.
Yeah.
Just these patterns that don't make sense. I don't know. Why do men always have to be the protector? Or why do women always have to be, you know, in every job I've ever worked in? Women are always doing the administrative tasks. Mm-hmm. Women are the ones who plan the birthday parties and send around the birthday card for everyone's yeah. signature. And like, why is it that way? Like, I don't get it. But I don't know.
It's that, yeah, is that what like folks get taught? It's just so wild that like that's the thing that was decided.
Yeah.
Like a person started doing it and then maybe they got a group of people and then this is what they modeled.
And it stuck. I think some of it makes sense for certain periods of time. Maybe, I guess, if we started owning land and farming our own food, there's bound to be outliers who try and like steal your shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, yeah, I do need to protect this. But it's wild that like as the world evolves,
it just stays.
We don't evolve yeah. with it.
That's the thing where I'm like, look, evolution takes time.
It takes so much time.
Because the way we still just like our first reaction to stuff is like a fear response.
Yeah, 100%.
Like if it's a foreign thing, it's like, ah.
Yeah.
Alien attack.
Right. Now you have me thinking, I'm like, well, I guess if we did have land and people were trying to steal it, maybe the non-fear response would have been asking them if they're hungry and maybe just learning how to share.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think there are some people who just like are born evil. Like,
yeah,
that's what it is. Yeah. I think most of these things are learned behaviors.
Yeah.
I think for the
fight or flight or fear, yeah, you know, that those are all very like very human base level.
Yeah, I'm like that instincts. Makes sense.
Yeah,
this makes sense because at a point in time you was getting chased by wolves and something like that. Like, yeah, okay, but then we
threat's real.
Yeah, we started becoming a thing to where it's like the threat is the other person.
Right.
It's a thing to where I think about zombie shows or movies and stuff like that, and it's like the humans that are survived, they are worse than the damn zombie. I'm like, I know what the zombie won't. <It's>
like, they're making their needs very clear.
Yeah, like they're explicit communicators. Like, they know it. Like, this is where we at.
That's
it's
hilarious.
Everyone, it's everything else.
That is so funny. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like I'm gonna so mess this up, but there's a really great book called Shakti Leadership. And it's all about balancing the masculine and feminine in leadership. And the beginning of the book, just the intro, is really powerful because it talks about how the fights or the like revolutions mm-hmm. that we've had to fight have changed as humans have evolved.
Mm-hmm.
There was the fight for, there was civil rights where we were just trying to make sure Black people had the same rights as white people. And then it became about gender,
mm-hmm.
which is like in the 70s.
Yeah.
And then it became about, I knew I was going to fuck it up. Anyway, they just sort of break it down. And now they're talking about how the next era, the next generation or generations are really going to be fighting this battle of balancing masculine and feminine.
Mm-hmm.
But I say all that to say that those are all building on top of one another.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so similarly, our way of thinking, our way of approaching the world also has to evolve. I laugh as Miles creeps up on me like a little creeper cat. Our levels of consciousness have to evolve and how we approach each other if we really want to like keep evolving in a forward, upward progression.
That's where I think the conflict or the outrage or backlash and pushback comes from around the like quote unquote being woke.
Hmm.
I think for some people, it is a like, I just don't agree with this, whatever it might be. I don't know if it's like gender equality or the issues and challenges that trans folks need to deal with. Yeah. And that's the thing that comes up like the most, I think, lately. And I've just been thinking like, oh, I think critical a lot race of the pushback theory is coming from this place of these folks who have been on autopilot for so long.
Yeah.
Now being like awake.
Yes.
And seeing and going like, oh, shit, like I got to deal with this. Like,
yes.
But it was so easy when I could just do. I ain't got to ask you your pronouns and I can just say what I want. I'm like, oh, no, I think it's more laziness than folks actually probably having beef. I think there are people, 100%, Marjorie Taylor Greene, like who just suck ass. And they are just like, oh, I want to like I just am going to fight against anything and everything that just ain't what I want.
Yeah.
I think the root of it is, and this is just what I think, is that it's this fear of like them having to confront their stuff as well.
Yes.
And I think that is where stuff comes up in how we see the pink tax and the healthcare system.
Yes.
And like damn near everything, because it's men creating these structures. Or there's a thing I read, is it Invisible Woman? I think the book is. I got to go back to it. But how I remember reading a story of a woman was like prescribed, I think it was like Ambien. She took it and it wouldn't feel the effects till like hours later. And then it would like put her out.
Yeah.
And she was like, kept going to the hospital and like talking to her doctor, like, yo, this is not the move.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until they like actually had to stop and go like, oh, wait, women's bodies metabolize and digest and process these things different than men. So it was like they were giving her the same doses that you would give this man. And it's just like, yo.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, this, it is so deeply rooted that, like, even the people whose job is to, like, take care of people, like, it's even affecting their ability to, like,
think without bias.
Yeah, like, you can't even do that.
Yeah.
And it's shit like that. Yeah. Your razors cost more. Like, this shit makes no damn sense.
Yeah, I mean, the medical industry is a whole conversation in and of itself. Just the amount of money spent on researching medications, mm-hmm. pharmaceuticals, whatever. But all the testing and everything, like you said, it's done on white men. And or they use black and brown bodies to
experiment,
right? And so women who have heart attacks are grossly, I think it's underdiagnosed, missed completely, because our whole definition of heart attacks is based on the male experience of a heart attack.
That's like, come on, yo, like, what the fuck? Was it? I think it's Serena Williams when she was giving birth to her daughter.
Yep.
How she had, like, blood clots. And this is Serena Williams. And Serena Williams, like, genetic marvel, she got to tell doctors, yo.
What to do.
You need to do, like.
Right. Which is where the intersectionality comes in. Because if you look at healthcare for women, black and indigenous women, black women more so, have the highest maternal mortality rates of any other demographic.
Yeah.
So women get screwed, black women get screwed, indigenous women get screwed, white women get pretty well taken care of when they're having babies. It gets back to just kind of, I think there's one specific hinge conversation that I'm thinking of where the man was rightfully wanting to be clear that there's a lot of intersectionality and nuance when we talk about patriarchy. And I was like, you're right, this is going to become an podcast conversation.
He's
not gonna know that though.
It is a lot of nuance involved. I think almost everything has a lot of nuance involved. I just think that it's something in which I feel a sense of responsibility to realize, like, I just gotta take on more from women, in the sense that if there is a woman that I'm interacting with and they show up how they show up, it is very, very challenging. And I think that's the thing that's played a role in my last relationship and just like processing and healing from it, is understanding how like my capacity to change and adapt with someone I love doesn't mean that like I'm letting them necessarily change me. It's also like, if I'm okay with that change, then we should be good.
Right.
Like, they're like, oh, don't change the person. I'm like, what if the change is actually just good, though? Like, what if that change is actually just good for both of you? Like, for them, for you, independent of each other. Like, what if it just is? And it's also something to where a friend of mine just asked me, they're like, do you still love her? I'm like, yeah, that doesn't change. Like, I believe this person to be the love of my life. And with that, they're like, I don't remember exactly how he said it, but I'm like, look, I just realized that as much as the things from my past affected me showing up a certain way, I can hold out and understand and try and give as much grace to understand that, like, that happened to them as well.
Yeah.
And I can also think about, like, the men you probably interacted with that then created a lot of whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not making any assumptions. And that's something that I don't think we do in relationships.
Wait, be more specific. The kind of extension of grace.
Yeah, that, like, extending grace to understand that, like, this probably isn't a me thing. Like, I probably actually didn't do something that, like, really created this, like, interaction.
Yeah.
I could have done something that maybe, like, made you think of something or relive a moment. And from there, like, the projecting happens.
Yeah.
And that's what thinking deeply about patriarchy has done to me, to go, like, I'm going to keep trying to give people as much grace as I can. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm being more aware of it. But I think that's a thing that's created a huge problem in, like, all relationships.
Yeah.
Man, man, woman, man.
Whatever
the other options there are.
Yeah.
I think that's something that has, like, come up to me consistently.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, damn.
Well, it goes back to something I think you said at the top or near the top of the conversation, which is just like being able to tap into who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
So beneath all of the learned crap, the more you can tap into that, the better you can actually show up for someone else. Mm-hmm. And the better they can do that, the better both of you can show up yeah. for each other.
Mm-hmm.
You can recognize what's yours versus what's theirs.
I think that's the real magic.
Yeah.
That's the thing for me that I think has always made me hopeful.
Yeah.
Is that you, in the sense of like me, V, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You'll figure out your thing.
Yeah.
And I keep trusting myself and just going like, this shit suck right now.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always suck.
Yeah.
Like, you'll figure this out.
You'll figure this out because you have before and you'll continue to. And it goes to like, it's reason why I'm sort of like, okay, I'm ready to date again because I trust that I will be able to get myself out of whatever potential heartbreak or situation that I just recognize is not for me
mm-hmm.
better the next time.
Yeah. That's really lovely.
And it's still
to hear.
A practice, right? Like, I'm still scared of it, but we've talked about this. I think this is the first time I actually let myself really feel everything.
Yeah.
Through the heartbreak. And so now I'm like, okay, I think I needed that one level of practice. That one round of practice.
I'm like, you can keep this shit on me.
Because I trust myself to like listen to myself mm-hmm. more, to know that if they don't show up right for me, that that's on them, not me. Mm-hmm. And I won't let myself be convinced too early, at least, that it's going to be anything different than that.
Mm.
I won't sort of go in with this dreamy fairy tale belief that I've found love.
Yeah.
First of all, love is not a static thing. You have to, it's like trust. You have to show up and prove it every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. If someone can't do that, then, you know, go with God. I'm sending you love.
Go with God.
Sending you lots of love, buddy.
Is that go with God? I wasn't ready for the go with God. That's like one of the most kind ways to be like, all right, take care. Just go with God.
Go with God. Listen, lots of love to you.
I don't know about that dating stuff.
It's okay. You don't have to know right now.
I'm like, man, you know, hoo-wee. I think I'm glad to hear that you have that, because I don't know necessarily how. I got to keep working on my patience. That's my thing. I'm like, I got to keep working on patience.
Lifelong practice.
It's a thing to where I'm like, you can do your thing. I don't know if it's a thing in which being to think about these things, how interacting with others like that might not be there still.
Wait, say
more. Like they're not on their journey. They're not at that point to where like,
yeah,
they're aware of these things.
Yeah.
It's like, that's where it's like, okay, the judgment call of like, do I want to work with you?
Right.
Why are you figuring this out?
Or do you want to like even stick around to long enough to figure it out?
Exactly.
Because you won't actually figure it out until you have moments of conflict.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a TikTok, and it was one of the first TikToks that I sent to the guy that I last dated. I don't know if somehow we were talking about relationships, and it was this husband and wife, and the wife was recording the husband, and she said, you know, honey, when's the last time we had a fight, or how do we fight? And he kind of looked at her and he was like, huh, we actually don't fight anymore, because you tell me how you feel or I tell you how I feel. And then we kind of talk it through and work together to find a solution.
Bang.
And I was like, wow, relationship goals right there.
Yeah, like you can talk.
So you figure it out almost within one or two fights with a person, how they're going to show up. And a fight could be something as simple as like you just tell them how you feel. And if they respond like an asshole, then you're like, peace out.
Yeah. And I think in the ways and like we had disagreed, I know how for me, I had saw so much. And I think it comes from one my birth mom in that how the outburst would happen. And then it was mm-hmm. like, I'm out.
Yeah.
So like I think I was like, oh, so you could just like peace and then come back. Then like over time, I started realizing really quick, like, no, that ain't good. Like, okay. So that's where it's that thing to where I think about to the long relationships, those folks have the ability to repair.
Yeah.
It's like, even if you do, like, know what I need a day.
Mamba mentality in the relationship.
Know what I need a week. Like, okay, cool. And then it's like, okay, we're going to come back. We're going to figure this out.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I think about, and I know I'm like, okay, I will make sure that when I'm making that conscious decision of like, oh no, I want to be with you today and tomorrow and the next day, to be like, I also know that there are things about you that I don't like.
Right.
And like, that's
you're
okay.
Committing to it.
Yeah, but like, we just go keep figuring it out. We're just going. And then when we figure out these ways.
Right.
Okay, cool. Neat.
As opposed to like a blind like power or dominance where you're just like, I'm the man. I'm showing up my way or the highway. You're not allowed to have feelings because I'm protecting all of this. So I know what's best. Like, that's also what I think about when I think about cultural dynamics from my culture is just the idea that like, because the man is the protector, the man is the earner, house rules suddenly become his house rules.
Yeah. I'm like, nah, because we both in here.
Yeah. Right. But that's also it's a learned thing.
You I'm like, let's just have it all out there as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And like, boom, I don't care if we got to come up with like a safe word where you say it and everybody got to sit down on the couch and then
cone of safety, safe space,
say what you want. And here we go. Okay, we figure it out. And I think I just am optimistic for myself and for other people because I'm like, look, I think the world is objectively better. Like we can take certain metrics and be like, look, people live longer, less people are in poverty. Like there are things we can look at. And I just think that the more we're able to like, I'm able to continue to be aware of the habits that I have and work to make healthier ones and be aware of how these things like show up for me that are like so deeply rooted and find new ways to learn. I think that makes me just go like, okay, like you go be all right, man. Like,
yeah.
It's go work out.
Beautiful. I don't know if I have anything else to add.
Well,
to this one.
There y'all go, folks.
Patriarchy part two. Still scheming.
Let's just be like, stay scheming. Oh, thank you. Appreciate y'all for listening. We'll make sure to link out the Start of Patriarchy article in the, what's that, the episode notes. And we go see y'all later.
Holla back. Go with God.
Y'all go hear us. Yes, go with God.